Scott and Vicki. And there's a point to that song. We have been, you may be seated for a minute. We have been fasting and hopefully we've been praying and seeking God. And I really believe God wants to reward your efforts here tonight. I really believe, and I'm going to just start it off by telling you, it's time to celebrate a little bit. Is that all right? When the last Sunday night comes, we'll have a Jubilee service and celebrate some more. But I challenge you tonight, let's celebrate tonight. Amen. Amen. For Voces Unidas, several have been, including Pastor Seidel, have been celebrating all month, or have been fasting all month. There's a difference between fasting and celebration, but they've been fasting all month. But for those of us who started the Saturday night that our pastor designated, I have good news. You're past halfway. And for those of us who are surviving another Wisconsin winter, we're past halfway through January. But my subject tonight is in connection with our pastor, Brother Roy's theme for this time. I want to submit to you expecting victory. And my subject is expecting victory, the good news. Amen. Hallelujah. And I appreciate the singing that old gospel song, because I have been getting into some deep studies. I mentioned this before, on the kingdom of God. And in my studies, I think God has lifted my vision a little bit, and I hope I can help lift yours, setting up your horizon a little farther out and come to the point to where we really don't care a lot about what's happening right now, as long as we can see down the road and realize it'll be different the next time he comes. It's going to be a different world. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. This song, by the way, the chorus especially, has been going over and over in my mind for a couple of months as I continue my study, and I have become very conscious of the next time Jesus comes. Our pastor's emphasizing expect, and I'm just adding to that, expecting victory. I want to tell you, those of you who are really into this present fast, let's expect some victory, okay? How many of you got a physical problem you're worried about? A little something there that's bothering you. Expect healing. Amen. And many of you have a financial problem that you're struggling with. Anybody out there? Expect a financial blessing. Come on. We serve a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And all the crops in between the hills. Amen. Whatever you need, he can do it. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me pause right here and say what a privilege it is to come one more time. I'm not putting a limit on myself, but I appreciate every time I get to speak to you, because over the past 7 and almost a half years, maybe over a half years of being here, you have become my family. We have learned to love and appreciate all of you. Thank you for welcoming us and helping, letting us come and be a part of this wonderful church. Man, I enjoyed that worship in the beginning of this service, didn't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That wasn't just shallow praise. That was deep worship. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in a world continually filled with bad news, does anybody have any good news? Hallelujah. I'm preaching to you, there is good news. So let me remind us of the good news. For a foundation, let me start with Matthew 3:1, where we read, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Amen. From the Greek English New Testament, and I've emphasized this before, just reminding you, that is literally translated, repent ye, for the kingdom from the heavens has come near. Hallelujah. Now, this was not the first time we see, or thus, let me interject this. Jesus was preaching the same message as John the Baptist preached when he started his ministry by preaching, repent ye, for the kingdom from the heavenlies has come near. Now, this was not the first time you see the kingdom of God referred to in the Bible. Actually, Psalm 103:19 gives us some great insight into this heavenly kingdom. We read, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. Sounds to me like he's talking about a kingdom, huh? Amen. He has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over heaven. No, that's all, isn't it? So his kingdom rules over this earth. Amen. Bless the Lord, ye his people, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Now, those verses describe the kingdom of God as, first of all, a singular kingdom. Every reference tells us there's only one kingdom, the kingdom. Amen. Written over and over and telling us that. Then verse 19 gives us how much God's kingdom rules. His kingdom ruleth over all. See that last phrase? All of it. Amen. I am glad to be serving a God that knows what he's doing and he's ruling over it. So good news is part of the gospel. Amen. Someone needs to emphasize good news. Turn on your radio, read your newspaper, all you get's the negative stuff. I think somebody ought to emphasize some good stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to do that for the next little while. Let me tell you a few things. I'm just going to lay a little foundation and it won't take long. God's kingdom is already in place, but it's never been fully revealed either to his church or to this world. Jesus' miracles over nature, as well as his healings, his victory over the devil in the wilderness, his total control over the dark powers of satanic demons as he cast them out, and especially his resurrection, coming back to life from the dead, all were definite victories over Satan. Amen. Amen. Pointing to that final victory that will happen down the road a ways. It's almost here. Amen. And we are well aware. Anybody here doubt the second coming of Jesus Christ? It could happen at any time. It could happen before I quit preaching tonight. It could happen before you get home tonight. It could happen before another day passes, or a week, or month. It could happen anytime. When Jesus Christ was here on earth in a human body, his victories totally routed demonic forces. You can say amen to that. And believe me, it will be different. It will be different the next time he comes, when he comes back.
It'll
and that, my friend, is good news.
Next
hallelujah.
You come.
Oh, yes.
Wait
and see.
You've got a lot of lonely children.
And one of them is me.
You know we want to see you.
We're never really at home,
so
but if you're waiting to be invited, Lord Jesus, please come. Slip our hands up and ask him to come and get us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. In Jesus' name. Now, Jesus' actions did establish the kingdom of God on earth, both in his people and his church. And wherever we live and whatever we do, right here, right now, in this present evil world, is for Jesus Christ. Amen. But all around us, stay with me here. I want to get something across to you that hopefully can help you. All around us, people are still possessed and still addicted, not in the church, but out there in the world. Still get sick and die. Famines, destructive storms still rage. Hurricanes, typhoons, tornadoes still destroy towns and cities and people. Famines are still common to our earth. And people still starve, and millions more are undernourished. So, what does that mean? I think it means that Jesus' ministry did tie up the strong man in principle. He did it. The devil is limited in what he can do. Yes, and through the church of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is established here on earth. Yes, Jesus won the war, striking the decisive death blow, and very soon he's going to take care of that devil. Can you give him praise for that? Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, he restored lost humanity, offering whoever comes to him salvation by his shed blood. And by doing this, yes, he has established the kingdom of God right here on earth. Hallelujah. And that's good news. I'm telling you good news. Are you really expecting good news? I hope you are. I have good news for you. Amen. Amen. Yet more battles must still be fought before the king's ultimate victory is fully revealed. Because of this, Jesus didn't carry out his warfare ministry fully. And he did not yet completely take over the earth and all the evil and wickedness that's on earth. The Great Commission has equipped and empowered his first church and his followers today. And down the road through the rest of church history, enabling his living church to do that. It's our responsibility to live for him and to obey him and to follow him. And to lift him up. It's our responsibility. This church is part of the kingdom of God. It is a part of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. That's good news. There's hope for us. There's a future for us. There are blessings waiting us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right now, while we are in the midst of this fasting and praying and seeking God, believe him for a miracle. He has a miracle for you and you and you and you, whoever needs one. Lift your hands and worship him. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. We are commissioned with power, given authority to proclaim and demonstrate and live out day by day the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Now let me give you an illustration, a couple of illustrations that may help our understanding of this. A highly regarded Bible scholar named Gustav Wingren sees this present world in another way. In speaking about Jesus on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus declared, "It is finished," he explained our world in this way, and I'm quoting. He said, "The war of the Lord is finished, and the great blow is struck. Never again can Satan tempt Christ as he did in the desert. Jesus is now Lord and conqueror. But a war is not finished. A conflict does not cease with the striking of that decisive blow. The enemy remains with the scattered remnants of his army, and a strong resistance still continues," unquote. And there is still a picture etched in my mind of President George W. Bush on the deck of one of our aircraft carriers, having just landed a fighter jet on it, declaring the end of the Iraq war. Anybody remember that? How long ago has that been? 10 years? 12? I don't know. Yet our military is still deeply involved in Iraq and all over the Middle East, because there's still plenty of opposition there. Amen. In 2 Peter 3:8, Peter warns the early church, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." So a couple of days ago, Jesus fought and won the battle. And we're still wrestling with some of the residue that's out here. Amen. Even 2,000 years down, the passage of time means nothing to Jesus. And I am telling you, he is on his way back to get us. Amen. And it'll be different the next time he comes. It'll be different the next time. Sing it with me. He comes. Wait and see. You've got a lot of lonely children, Lord, and one of them is me. You know we want to see you. We're never really at home. So if you're waiting to be invited, Lord Jesus, please come. Praise God. Praise God. Now let me tell you just a few more things about this first and second coming. You see, Jesus came the first time to sow the seed of his kingdom. You know what? He succeeded in that. And that kingdom seed germinated. And it has grown, reaching into every corner of our world. Yes, God's kingdom has expanded on earth. I heard Brother Paul Mooney say a while back that his reports from South America, where there's such revival down there among the Oneness Pentecostals, that they can't even keep up with the converts. They're growing everywhere. Africa has become so Pentecostal that they are threatening the progress of other missionary groups that are trying to do something. Over in Asia, there are all kind of reports coming out of the Philippines. Thousands of people living for God, getting the Holy Ghost, being revived. This is a great time to be alive. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus gives to his followers who in faith receive it. You ready to receive it? His authority to break down the gates of hell. Tear the walls down. Amen. Hallelujah. Now that the strong man is bound, we can and must continue putting effort into carrying this out. Take the word. Take the word. Amen, amen. Starting with our own personal lives. Listen to me. Lay aside your past life, because God has forgiven it and thrown it away. And decide right now you're living for him. He's the only one worth living for. Only one. Amen. Hallelujah. Starting with our own personal lives. Moving into our homes and families, neighborhoods. We must live changed lives. We must live changed lives. making sure to live for God in our schools and on our jobs. And we are all called to oppose evil and wickedness and stand strong against Satan and sin. We can do it with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God, with the blessings of God, with the Word of God. We can do it. You can live for Him. You can change your life. You can walk holy, be holy, live holy. Amen. Amen. The truth is right here and right now. Everybody said right here. Say it again. Right here and right now, our work for the kingdom of God is expanding. We are building His kingdom here on earth. We're building it with our daily lives. We're extending His kingdom and we're expanding His kingdom on earth. We are certainly, definitely, positively looking at the end of our age. And none of us really know for sure when it's going to happen. But here and now, our work for His kingdom is laying the basis for the King's return. I don't want to go into detail there, but I know you know what I'm talking about. Then, at His second coming, when He comes again, He then will declare total victory. Amen. The victory will be a victory over all creation, including all the earth, even over all of Satan's power. At that time, the full revelation of His victory and Satan's total defeat will proclaim Him King. And not only just a king, but the King of all kings. Amen. As a matter of fact, at that time, Jesus will be declared King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Amen. Let's worship Him again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It'll be different.
The next time you come, you're beginning to see the difference.
You've got a lot of lonely children, and one of them is me. We want to see you.
We're never really at home. So if you're waiting to be invited, Lord Jesus, please come. I want to interject something here that I don't have in my notes, but I think our bishop can agree with this. I have noticed over the years, and I'm not taking sides against anybody anywhere, so don't think I am. I have noticed from early years of my being in the church that once in a while, some preacher would come by and preach on prophecy. And include his ideas of the Antichrist and the end time events, and talk about the rapture and all of that kind of stuff. And I want to say this. Every person that gave his ministry to talking about end times and prophecy, and but very little else, forgot the soul, forgot the church, forgot everything, only served to derail what God was trying to do and distract far from what God was doing in the world. Now, it may not be that way in your life, but I am warning you. Lift your eyes. Don't worry about the end times. Lift your eyes until you get a vision of what's going to be like when He comes back. Amen. Is that all right, Brother Grant? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There have been thousands of opinions over the years trying to describe Jesus' second coming. Based on the Word of God, let me just emphasize a few facts for all of you to think about. I want to start with a phrase. Paul described the church of God in a place or two, or I should say a word. Paul describes the church of God in a place or two as being a mystery. Now let me give you a Bible definition. Any mystery is defined as something hidden in the past that is now revealed. Does that make sense? Something hidden in the past that is now revealed. As I have said, God's church is only His church as long as His people obey Him and His people follow Him. When people in His church stop following Him and refuse to obey Him, they're no longer in the church. Oh, Brother Russell, you set yourself up to judge. Oh, no. Oh, no. oh no. God didn't turn away from them. They turned away from God. Hebrews 3:12 proves the truth with a powerful exhortation. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if, capitalize that word in your mind, in the Bible when God says if, he's not guessing what will happen. He's telling us what will happen. He says, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, we need to keep believing. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. And Jesus himself tells us in Matthew 24:13, after describing many end time events, he exhorts all of God's people, telling them that he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, I'm just going through a low time right now, or I'm just a little bit discouraged. Put that out of your mind. Lift up your eyes and look beyond your circumstances and look at the far horizon and let God lift you a little bit to see a little farther, because it'll be different the next time he comes. Just wait and see. You have a lot of lonely children, and one of them is me.
You know we want to see you. We're never really at home. So if you're waiting to be invited, Lord Jesus, please come.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feel the Spirit of God moving in this place right now. Let's extend our hands and give him some praise right here in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The first time Jesus came, he came slipping into Bethlehem stable. Very few people recognized him. But the next time he comes, Philippians 2, 10 and 11 tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue and that every tongue and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. That's how it'll be different. Amen. Amen. But the first time Jesus came, very few were able to really believe he was who he said he was. But the next time he comes, everyone will recognize he is the God of glory. Because Revelation 1 and 8, Jesus has said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The first time he came, he was subjected to false accusations and an illegal trial and conviction. He was crucified on a cross, shedding his precious blood to redeem those who follow him. But next time he comes, he'll be the presiding judge with all power and all authority. Yes, it'll be different the next time you come. Wait and see. You've got a lot of lonely children, and one of them is me. You know we want to see you. We're never really at home. So if you're waiting to be invited, Lord Jesus, please come. Remember, folks, we're still in a war. We are all in this war. This life is a battle. It is a battle Satan has already lost. Sometimes in our busy life and in the battle, we miss very apparent victories and defeats. Every soul we rescue for Jesus, every one of them, listen to me, is a great loss for the devil. And he doesn't like that. How many of you have run into a little opposition living for God? The devil doesn't like that loss, but we love the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Every victory we fight for and win is a direct defeat for Satan. And we need to put that in the back of our mind, because that's good news. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I look around here in this church, noticing, and Bosis Anitas also, and some of the outreaches. This every victory we fight and win is a direct defeat. But I look around and I notice all the souls, listen, that Satan has lost. Jesus wins. Hallelujah. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Jesus wins. Let me give you some illustrations. I happen to believe that one of the greatest miracles I have ever seen in all my life was Jesus Carbonell. You weren't over there in Voces when he wandered in 5 years ago on his way to the grave. His family had actually come to Madison from various places. I think some of the members from Colombia, South America. They had gathered to be with him literally as he died. He didn't have any time left. He had ruined his health living a bisexual lifestyle. But God delivered him. And not only delivered him, but totally healed him. That is a major, major battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But sometimes what we miss is Jesus Christ won that battle. Amen. And Satan lost another soul. And we heard him preach a powerful sermon right here in Calvary just a month or so ago. He's on our side. Hallelujah. Let me point out Brother James Hawk. Coming out of jail, he worked through the prison system, having wasted most of his life involved in dope, drugs, and criminal activity, etc. But Jesus found him, and Jesus kept working with him, and Jesus saved him. Hallelujah. Oh yes, we all helped. He gives Calvary for the credit to everything that happened in his life. Basically, that's just telling you that Jesus did it. And he gives Jesus the credit too. Amen. And after many years, Satan lost that battle and Jesus won. Amen. Satan lost another soul and Jesus won. Amen. Or consider another one of our staff members. Many years ago, Brother John Seidel came out of the UW party culture, experiencing alcohol and dope and drugs, the whole thing, wasting his life away without making any progress. Jesus Christ won the battle. Saved that man, and the devil lost him. He hadn't got over that yet. I want to tell you, he hasn't got over you yet. He wants you back, but Jesus has you. Praise God. Amen. And that's good news. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let me finish the story. All three of these are now ministers of this true gospel today. And that's victory, folks. And that's good news. Amen. That's good news. And we can celebrate that. In fact, we should celebrate all those victories and give all the glory to Jesus and his church. And even beyond that, we should celebrate the victories they bring about in their respective ministries. Jesus is traveling nationwide, even as we speak, evangelizing, reaching for people and having great results. Every so often he sends a picture of somebody else he's baptized, some other family member he's prayed through. Thank God. Thank God. And then Brother Seidel is pastor of Voces, and Brother Hawk is pastor of the outreach at Allied Drive, and God is reaching souls down there, and God's reaching souls in Voces, and they're, all of those souls are victory for Jesus Christ, and we need to celebrate that. We need to celebrate that. Somebody needs to get up and praise God for that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, that's good news. That's excellent news. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 And please remember that on the other hand, the devil lost them. And all that they reached and all the good that they've done and all the people they have stabilized and worked with, he lost them, and he's not liking it a bit. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All the sermons preached, the Bible studies taught, the lives affected positively, that is good news. Amen. Amen. Victories in starting outreaches. Now, Calvary has several outreaches in the Madison area that are reaching people with the gospel almost every Sunday, I should say. We see people walk in from these outreaches, or somebody brings them back Sunday night or Monday and baptizes them and praying for them back here. There's some power in that water. No, not really, but there's power in obeying God because they are filled with the Holy Ghost many times. Amen. Amen. And Brother Dave Haupt works here and keeps this place sparkling, and I appreciate his work. He's been mentioned before, but I want you to know one additional thing that I don't think was mentioned at the last time he was talked about, is that if somebody wanders in, or when somebody wanders in off the street, they won't leave unless they just flat say no, because Brother Haupt will teach them a Bible study, and if you don't watch him, he'll have them in the baptistry and they'll be talking in tongues, because that's victory. Hey, we have a victorious church. We have victorious people. We have people that love God. It'll be different the next time you come. Wait and see. You've got a lot of lonely children, and one of them is me. You know we want to see you. We're never really at home. So if you're waiting to be invited, Lord Jesus, please come. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there are many, many more, both men and women, who have turned away from their old lives in repentance. Where am I talking about? Right here, right now. Turned away from their old lives in repentance and committed their new lives to Jesus Christ through baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, receiving the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Many, many more have experienced life-changing experiences right here at Calvary Gospel Church or in one of the other outreaches of this church. These are all, every one of them, major victories for the kingdom of God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the church of Jesus Christ. Every one of these and many more of you found victory in Jesus, and God turned you around and anointed your lives to serve him. We are not just another denomination. Amen. You are not just a Sunday school teacher. You are not just a youth leader or a worship leader. You are working for Jesus Christ in his kingdom. And that's victory. You will never know in this life, if you stay faithful to him, what God has delivered you from and kept you from. But he has done and is doing great things for you. Amen. Let's lift our hands and ask and praise him a little more. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Twice in the very last chapter in the Bible, in Revelation 22, Jesus promises, "Behold, I come quickly." Then the third time in Revelation 22 and 20, he reinforces those first two messages with, "Surely I come quickly. Amen." Hallelujah. A literal translation of those words, and I've mentioned a little earlier, are these. "Just keep on looking for me," Jesus said. "I'm on my way." Hallelujah. Can we see that tonight? Can you lift your eyes above that near horizon and out there where Jesus is and recognize that he's preparing to come right now? It's getting that close. It's getting that close. Hallelujah. 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 And the response of his bride is found in verse 17 of Revelation 22. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that is heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will includes everybody sitting in this auditorium right here, right now. Let him take the water of life freely." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm closing with one more thing. Our pastor, Brother Roy Grant, in a recent message to Calvary Gospel, preached with a powerful anointing about the Laodicean church. He reinforced the truths about that church that many of us have heard ever since we've been in the church. Actually, I don't know what Brother Grant's experience with it, but most preachers who preach about Laodicea don't give that church much hope. He said, "You are so distasteful to me that I'm about to spew you out of my mouth." You remember that? You remember Brother Roy preaching about that? I'm sure you do. There was not one redeemable quality to be found in that church. It was so sickeningly lukewarm that God promised he would spew them out of his mouth. That church was so proud and independent that God would not tolerate it much longer. There was just no redeeming quality in it. It seemed like by reading that last church message, they were hopeless. But you're never hopeless as long as God's on the throne. Because at the end of that message to the church at Laodicea, Revelation 3:19, unlike any other church in the book, he had a special message for them. He said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Anybody get that? As the chapters were progressing in the book of Revelation, the very last book of the Bible, he is saying, "I don't care where you are. I don't care what you have gone through. I don't care that you have walked away." He said, "All you need to do is turn from your past to me." And you know what he promised? Look at it up there. Well, it's not up there yet, but he promised that he wanted to sup with us if we would open the door. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him." Do you understand what he's doing? He's asking you to invite him to supper. Maybe some of you would rather say dinner, but that's all right. He's inviting you to come. "As many, if any man hear my voice and open the door, if you'll repent and recommit yourself to him," recommit yourself to him, "be zealous therefore, and open the door when I knock, I'll come over and sit at your dinner table and sup with you." And then there's one more, verse 21. "And if we can make things right, If you can repent, and if you will be zealous, and open the door to me, to him that overcometh, if you'll do that, he's saying, I'll just move over a little bit, and I will grant to you to come sit with me on my throne. He didn't say this, but I could just see him as you go and sit down beside him, reaching over and putting his arm around you, leaning over and telling you, I'm glad you did this because I love you. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. There's only one throne up there. And when he moved over, he left room for you. And you. And you. If you're not real sure of the closeness of your relationship with Jesus, I'd like you to stand right now, all of you. And if you'd happen to not be sure, I just ask you to step out and come down. Let's make sure. We're too close to gamble, folks. We're too close to postpone it another day. We're too close to take any chances. Come on, if you're not sure, we're not telling you you're going to hell, all that kind of stuff, because as long as you repent and commit yourself to him, he'll invite you to come and sit with him. If the Lord has talked to you, step out and come. Any of you anywhere that'd like to get a little closer, I know this whole congregation, you wouldn't be fasting and praying if you weren't trying to get closer. Any of you that want to get a little closer, just step out and come. Thank you. God's touching you. God's ministering in this house. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. It'll be different the next time you come. Wait and see. You've got a lot of lonely. Anybody here lonely? Come and talk to him tonight. Of them is me. No, we want to see you. We don't feel at home here anymore.
At home.
So if you're waiting to be invited, Lord Jesus, please come. Because it'll be different. The next time you come, just wait and see. You've got a lot of lonely children, and one of them is me.
You know
we want to see you. We're never really at home. So if you're waiting to be invited, Lord Jesus, please come. Let me say one more thing, maybe to clear this up in your mind. It's kind of easy sometimes for a preacher to reach back on his stock of sermons and pull something out and preach it. I didn't do that. I preached a little bit of it a month back at Boses, but this is fresh and new. What does that mean? That means especially for you. God sends you a message. I would like to tell you you had 10 more years, or 5, or 2, or even 1. I can't. If you're ever going to get right, now is the time. While you're feeling conviction, while you're feeling that, please respond. Talk to him. Lift your hands or your hearts or your minds and really talk to him tonight. Let him know you're sincere. You're committing. You're dedicating. You're giving your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reach up to him in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, have your way, Lord. Have your way in this place, God. Minister to us, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's good. Come on, keep on pressing. You're getting close. You're getting very close. God wants to do something here. It's not over because the sermon's finished. Not at all. He wants you to know. that you've got a place sitting by Him on His throne. He wants you to come in and find that place and sit with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep reaching. Keep seeing. Call upon Him. Obey Him. Follow Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God doing a special work here for somebody. Amen. Some of you are waiting for the Wednesday night service to be over to eat. Maybe you're going to leave and go get something.